good outcome of this occasion. I would also like to acknowledge the good work and sacrifices of those who assisted, Imam Ali Muslim, and the Newark effort, and also express my personal appreciation to the Imams that have joined us here today from around the area, from the region, and also from outside of the region, and also to the pioneers, the faithful workers who have many years of sincere support to their credit for the effort, behind the effort to present our religion in the best way and to see our religion established in the best way. We acknowledge your presence here and your personal sacrifices and contributions, and want you to know that we appreciate you very much, and I know personally that without you, we would be missing our foundation. Our Lord God Most High, whose name has many, many names, that is Allah, who has many, many names, and all of his names are perfect and most excellent. He says to us in the Holy Book, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. God says to his messenger Muhammad, the prophet, the last and universal messenger of God, and to us, say, the corrupted and the good things are the corrupted and the good do not compare. There is no equality between the corrupted and the good. Though the abundance that is realized by corruption or from corruption astonish you. I have reflected on this wording in the Quran, in the Holy Book of Muslims, and have applied it to the effort to understand the situation for many corrupt people and promoters of corruption in this society. This society, as you know, is a society of extraordinary possibilities and extraordinary feats or achievements. On the one hand, we have the testimony of the righteous, and on the other hand, the testimony of the wicked. On the one side, we have freedom for the righteous, and on the other side, we have freedom for the wicked. On the one side, we have the great contributions of sincere, noble, and upright people, Americans, and on the other side, we have the abundance of corruption from the insincere, the wicked people, who also have the same freedom that the good people have in this country, and sometimes it appears that they have more freedom than the good people. I don't think so, but it appears that way sometimes. So, our dear Muslims, I have began my talk with this reading from Quran to say to you, be aware that in the land of opportunity, sometimes we are deceived, even innocent people are deceived, into believing that the best thing to do now is to get wealth, to get over, and forget about the religious disciplines or the religious commitment. Just take advantage of opportunity in America to get wealthy or to get over. I want to caution you, as Muslims, we should not accept this kind of invitation. We should be aware of the pitfall. We should avoid it, and we should trust God, and we should trust goodness, we should trust righteousness, we should have faith that the best life will come only if we strive hard to please Allah, the Lord and Creator of everything, and to live up to the best standards and the best aims of the Muslim life. I now come to another reading of Quran, the holy book of the Muslims. Where God promises us a good life, a good life for our good intentions and our good works. And He also promises us good establishments. We are here in Newark addressing this gathering that have taken time out of their important lives, their important commitments, to gather here and to hear what we have to say. What I want you to know that I'm not looking at your effort and your time that you have spent to be here in no small way. To take time out of your life, out of your home, away from your immediate concerns to come out here is no small thing. And I don't regard it as any small thing. So maybe some of you might not be listening with an open ear or with two ears, and you may think that what I'm saying is just ordinary talk. But I didn't come out here to make ordinary talk. I came out here to bring you the heaviest concerns that are put upon man, and hope that after I've completed this talk, this address, that you will feel free and capable or able to accept responsibility and carry the concerns and perform in a wonderful way for your own good and for the good of your loved ones, for the good of the whole society. God promised to give us good establishments. God promises us in His holy book that He will establish us in the earth. And he didn't say, oh, I'll establish you in the earth as long as there's no great challenge to your life. No, he said, I will establish you in the earth. Allah, if we believe in him, he's all-knowing, he knows everything, he knows the past, he knows the future, he knows everything. If we truly believe in him as Muslims, then we know that Allah, when he said this, he knew exactly what America would be today. Allah knew when he revealed this to Muhammad 1400 years ago, he knew exactly what America would be today. And when he said that he would give us good establishments, he was also talking to this audience today, telling us he will give us good establishments. So have no fear, no doubt. If you embrace sincerely the teachings of the religion of Islam, of al-Islam, the Quran, and follow the best example that is established in Muhammad the Prophet, the Messenger of God, you can establish yourself today, yesterday, tomorrow, anywhere and in any circumstances, under any conditions. Muslims can establish themselves, have no doubt. Now, I know that my methods are different from the methods of black leaders that you've experienced in the past. You sometimes don't even know where I'm coming from. I hear it said, where is he coming from? Well, maybe I'm not coming from anywhere. Maybe I'm going somewhere. And that's what I'm about. I'm about getting somewhere. And I don't believe the best way is the way we have been used to in the past. I don't think the best way is to bring the community, the nation, the fish program, the collective buying program, AMCOP, etc. I don't think it's best to bring those combined concerns, those collective efforts, before you to convince you that there's a way to establish ourselves. I think the best way, and I'm convinced of this now, in fact, I feel that I have had an awakening. I feel that God has blessed me with freedom for the first time to really preach the teachings of religion as it should be preached. And that is to not to seek to gain our ends or to reach our goals through the opportunity that's made available in collective effort or in institutions or in mosques or in schools or in armies. The best way is to gain that not only for the individual but for the institutions, for the armies, for the economic effort, for everything. The best way to gain it is through the hope of the individual. If we can excite the hope of the individual, if we can bring the assistance that God has given for all of us to every individual or to many as individuals as we possibly can, through the individual, the society will be made better. I'm convinced of that. And people say, well, where is, we don't see you, you all, you're not visible. Where are your businesses? What is the nation doing? That time is gone. For us, that time is gone. We are not here out here to impress people with a show of establishment. We are out here to excite the energies, the hope, the aspirations, the potential of the individual, so that we can rest at night knowing that we don't have to trust a group of people that we don't know what is their real makeup, whether 50% of them are hypocrites, whether 50% of them are infiltrators, whether 50% of them are devils or not. We don't have to trust our future to a group of individuals that can come from anywhere, out from under any rock, from behind any wall, and say, yes, I want to help you make this program. But we will trust our future with individuals who will go home and live their religion, who will go back to their private lives and live their religion, who will read their holy book for themselves after they have been guided to where it is, They will read the Holy Book for themselves. They will be inspired in their private quarters. And if God has given them possibilities, they will be the factor for bringing about the healthy change we want for Muslims, and not only for Muslims, but for well-meaning people in this society. And it's a philosophy that works. If anyone would make a careful study, a true and careful study, of the growth of moral life, the growth of intellect, the growth of business, in the following the Muslims since I have been leader, they will see that there is a tremendous jump in progress. They're, oh, but we're not there anymore. What are you doing? We don't see you in Chicago. You don't see a lot of things in Chicago that used to be in Chicago. Doesn't mean they're not there anymore. If you look for industry that used to be in Chicago is not there anymore, you perhaps have to go down south or to the west. Go out in Sunbelt to find it. Well, just as the new changes and new situations and conditions have caused business activity to go from one part of the United States to another, the same thing has happened to Muslims and Christians and everybody in this country. Some people have had to go to different areas because the other areas, different areas offer them better opportunity. In Atlanta, we have a better showing there for the Muslim businessman than we ever had in Atlanta. We've never had a better showing in Atlanta for the Muslim businessman than we have right today. And in Chicago, we're not doing as bad as you think. I think we're doing pretty good. We have a lot of good business people in Chicago. So God says he will establish us. He will give us good establishment. And better than that, he promises also paradise, the garden of paradise. And we know the best that can be hoped for is to be approved by God, is to please your Lord. The believer knows the best that he can hope for is that his God, he will meet his God, he will meet his Maker, and his Maker will be pleased with him. Because the greater possibilities are not with us, they're always with God. And whether we know it or not, even these small possibilities that we think are within our control are not really in our control. Before going further, I want it understood that within this theme, the sacred-like connection, we will be addressing the need on the part of the individual to be more responsible. The world becoming more crowded, it demands more of the individual, becoming too busy for us to get the help we used to get from mama, from daddy, from relatives, friends, or even from the city, from the federal government. The world is just becoming too busy, too complex, too crowded, too burdened. And another trend is working against us being too lax or satisfied in our small thinking, with our small minds and small thinking, is the globalizing trend that many of you I know are aware of, that is reducing the power and influence of any single nation on the global community. There was a time, as you know, when the United States of America had no checks on its production. It encouraged production because
the world markets almost belonged entirely to the United States. But because of the global trend, the trend that we have experienced now for a few years and going to experience, I think, for a long, long time, America has to now compete with some small nations that are outdoing it and gaining the world markets. Japan and now Korea and other small nations are coming up, and they are cutting out the opportunity and narrowing the opportunity for America to benefit from markets abroad. That means the citizens of America are not going to be able to produce as much. That means also that the citizens of America cannot hope for as much as they once had. Now, but if we think of the individual, that doesn't mean the individual should accept this as a negative turn or as a bad turn for him in the world situation. No, not necessarily. There are many people who don't want anything but a life, the life of a dumb animal. So they are not in the competition. And as the burden gets heavier, more people are eliminated who have no real vision, no real purpose, no real idea of themselves and their role or their value in the world scene. So they're being eliminated. Yes, we have a whole lot of people and everything, and production is cut back. But as this globalizing trend continues, and as the population multiplies and city life becomes more burdensome on individuals, great numbers that weren't eliminated yesterday are being eliminated today. So instead of having millions and millions of able, healthy human beings wanting jobs and opportunity, we got millions and millions of dumb animals who know nothing but animal behavior and animal life. So it's a good situation for the wide awake human being. It's a good situation. The best time for the well-meaning people, for the God-fearing people, for the good people is right now. If you would concentrate your efforts on reaching your potential, living the best life you possibly can, exercising all of your energy, your productive energy, enlarging your vision of possibilities for yourself, having the courage to think as big as my father thought in his small situation and circumstances. You know, he thought big. He said, the world belongs to us. What's wrong with that? The world belongs to somebody. So what's wrong with that? Nothing's wrong with that. We know, and as Muslims, the earth belongs to Allah. But we know he doesn't need it to sleep on or to rest on or to fish in. He's not going to fish these rivers. You know, we know Allah is not going to use it. It belongs to him, but he has entrusted it to us. He's not going to get the benefit. He says, I need nothing from my creation. I call for nothing. I need no food. I need no drink. I need no rest. I need nothing. He needs nothing. Then who's going to benefit? Me. So it belongs to Allah, but who's going to benefit? Me. So who should be looking at it as a possession? I should be looking at it as my rightful possession. And God says, He has ordained that his faithful followers, his faithful believers, shall inherit the earth. Now, I'm a Muslim. I don't care what the circumstances say. You know, the biggest crook in the neighborhood can have control. Doesn't change me. Doesn't make me feel any more disappointed. No, he doesn't disappoint me because the biggest crook in the world has control now. I believe in what God has said. And I know if I concentrate on living up to what God expects of me, eventually I'm going to topple that big crook. I'm going to take him off the throne. I'm going to make him lose control. My righteousness is going to break his control. My positive forward thrust is going to break his control. My effort to sensitize the conscience of good, well-meaning people is going to break his control. He's going to lose his mark. He's going to fall on his butt. I'm going to take his position. That's my belief. That's my belief. You don't have to feel that way if you want to. We got plenty of room for the animals. That's the way I feel.
Yep, no, sir.
I've never been afraid of a no good person. No. I don't care how much power he has. He can have all the power. I'm never afraid of a bad person. Because if he's a bad person, God is on my side against him. I'm a good person. Some of us, advice that is given in a business letter of a company that sells this. It sells this business advice. That's its business. That's the business of this company. It sells good business advice, and they list 7 problems that people face who have difficulty trying to establish themselves financially. And one of the problems is that they're afraid to have the courage to go out in the field of business opportunity when the sun is not shining. On a day of gloom and bad weather, when the economy is in a bad shape. So they just hold their money, hold on to their little money. See, I'm gonna hold this and wait till the economy changes. I'm gonna wait till the economy changes, wait till times get better, and then I'm gonna get me a business. The best time to do something positive is when the thing looks negative. When everything looks negative to you, that's the best time to do something positive. And it's the same way for the Muslim life. Oh, ain't no opportunity in this country. Some people, they break down under pressure. Ain't no opportunity in this country for us to establish no Muslim life. We have to wait until things change. Times have to change. These are just bad times. And you people won't listen to you. Your own children won't listen to you. You don't have enough faith. Or maybe you've just looked at bad things so long until you think there's nothing but bad. No, you have to get out of that and believe that God is as he was and will always be. If he had the power to deliver prophets at times gone by and establish them against great odds, overwhelming odds, and advance the good life for the righteous against overwhelming odds yesterday, he's the same God today. You change, but Allah does not change. His power has not changed. He's the same. If you will have the faith, you will see. You can do greater things now than you could do when times were better in this country. You can do greater things now. It's a good time, a good season. Don't be afraid to trust what you put your faith in or what you base your life upon. If you say you're a Muslim, you put your faith in that, you base your life upon that, then have the courage to trust it. You know, sometimes you have to take great risks. The business world that is strong and powerful and sustaining is a business world that has the courage to take great risks. And you have to be the same way in your religion and in your private life. You have to have the courage to take great risks. Some of us are afraid to say a straight word, an open, frank, sincere word to a member in our household. We're afraid upon our judgment of them. We're afraid that they won't pay any attention to it. They will hate you for saying it. Look, if you're a Muslim and you're supposed to say it, then you have to be willing to accept risk. In the situation of family, our close associates, or with so close associates, dear ones, the best friend is a friend who will accept the risk of losing his friend to guide his friend rightly. That's the best friend. And a Muslim or any sincere person in religion should be obligated to be straight, to do what is binding on them morally, even if it means risking the loss of your dear friend, the loss of your son, the loss of your daughter, the loss of your mother, the loss of your father, the loss of any close relative or friend. You have to be prepared to take that great risk when you see them going into hell fire, when you see them going into self-destruction. You have to be able to take that risk. Do you love them really? Would you rather keep them as a friend and have them go to hell and have them face self-destruction? Or would you rather risk losing them as a friend and know you did your best to turn them around or pull them away from the direction that they were going in? Yes, we have to have this kind of courage. And this principle should be applied in the whole of our life, not just for family concerns or friendship, but for business and everything. You have to be prepared to take the great risk. We think that the people who have advanced economics, advanced business, and material wealth in this country, we think that those people were crooks. I know what the common man thinks because I'm a common man. I walk the streets. I used to hang out on the corner. I went in the barber shops. I went in other places too sometimes, you know. I've been around the common folks and I know what your common folks think. They think that you can't get rich unless you're corrupt. That's a false conception. That's a false conception. The wealth of this country is owing to good-minded people. People who had charity in their hearts. People who were benevolent. People who wanted to do some good for more than themselves, for more than their relatives, for more than their friends. But people who wanted to extend the opportunities, carry a charity, the opportunities for work and the opportunity for a better life to millions and millions of people. There are people who work hard for wealth in this country. I'm not going to name any of them today. There are people who work hard for wealth in this country, but they weren't working only for the American citizen. They were thinking of people in the third world, what we call the third world now. They were thinking of opportunities eventually reaching depressed areas outside of the United States. They had those people in their concerns too. And that is why they were able to build such great wealth, because God was with them. I don't care whether they were Christian, Jew, or even atheist. God rewards good efforts. God rewards good efforts. The situation for your religion with God will be taken care of in the judgment if it's not taken care of here. But while you're here, God must reward good efforts. Do you think Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because he didn't conceive the teachings of the Quran correctly and mixed up the teachings of the Quran with black nationalism and other things, do you think he won't be rewarded for the good intentions and for the good work that he did with the hope of bettering the lives of his people, black people and other people? Yes, he will be rewarded. He was rewarded while he was living, and I'm sure he'll be rewarded after. Yes. Allah is not us. Allah is not us. Allah is so much bigger than us. You know, somebody was telling me, oh, you've really messed up now. You've really messed up now. I said, I'm glad I don't have to face you in the judgment. You're not going to be my judge. Doesn't bother me at all. I have come to the point where I know for sure that God is not a human being. If God was a human being, I'd start worshiping him right now. Because I'm a human being. Now, dear Muslims, we know that we have everything for our life already supplied in the Quran, the Holy Book, and in the life of Muhammad the Prophet. We know that. I don't think we find any Muslim that will disagree with that. Even those Muslims who haven't read two pages of the Holy Book, but they have been converted and they believe.
They believe the book is holy? Yes. Whatever we need is there. God provides for everything. That's what the believer says, whether he's Muslim or not. God provides for everything. So we believe it, whether we know Quran or not, or we read two pages, doesn't matter. If we're sincere in our belief, we believe that Allah has provided for us everything. All our needs are provided for in his holy book, and in demonstration of how that book is to be lived. Muhammad the Prophet, peace and the blessing be upon him. We believe that. But that's not enough, is it? Is that enough? No! That's not enough. We have to be aware that there is a great demand for better preparedness in the life of Muslim, the Muslim individual. Because of our circumstances, not only in America, but in the world today. The Islamic countries that are 90% and 100% Muslim, most of them have recently come from under colonial domination. For centuries, they did not have the power, the authority in their own land to live their religion, to protect their religion, to preach their religion, to pass their religion on to their children in the correct way. Many of them had to go to schools of the missionaries. And though they did not have missionary schools for some countries, they did not have missionary schools, many of them had to accept to come under the authority, the power, influence, and control of the colonial powers who dictated the limits on their authority. So don't think, oh, we in America, and oh, we've been here in America as Muslims in a land where we are a small minority and persecuted. No, the Muslim in his own land, 90% Muslim, sometimes 100% Muslim, has been persecuted more in his land for his religion than we have been in America for our religion. You have to understand that. Then you have to accept the burden, to prepare yourself better, because our numbers are very small, though we number 1 billion people believing in this religion throughout the world. The number of us that are free to live the religion, to practice the religion, to advance the religion as it should be advanced, are very few. Very few. So the few of us in America that have this opportunity, we have to accept the burden of the many who don't have to have the opportunity. We have to accept to advance this religion for the many who don't have the opportunity. If we're free in America, then we should feel this responsibility to the many Muslims who are not free in their own country to advance their own religion, and it should be advanced. Not doing colonialism now! Now! Some of the same people who've been spoiled by those days of corruption are still in power. Empowering countries, and I don't want to name a single one, empowering countries that we look to and say, oh, that's a Muslim country, it's an Islamic country, they're in power there. And if you think you escaped the Jew by going to the Muslim world, you're crazy. You're crazy. I'd rather live with a good Jew next door in Chicago than to go to some of these Muslim countries and have the influences of the bad Jew dictating what's happening over there. And not only the bad Jew, the bad communist, the bad Jew, the bad communist, the bad capitalist, a lot of the bad people are right over there running the scene in the Muslim land. But in America, we have an opportunity in a new time, in a desperate time,
where most people can't watch each other anymore. They got too much hell on in their own quarters. They don't have the convenience. They don't have the situation to be watching what you're doing. We can work hard and fast at our religion, improve our lives, establish a good Muslim life, establish a good human life. Right here in America, in these circumstances that are good and excellent when you know the facts of the world situation. So don't go around here with your heart heavy, your head hung. Oh, what are we going to do? Yes, a religion is beautiful, but where can we go with it? You can go to the White House with it. You can become a president of the United States with it. You can become the senator and the governor with it. You can become the leaders of America with Al-Islam. This is the time for it. The opportunity is greater here than it is anywhere else. And a long time ago, presidents of this country put themselves on record for having recognized this religion. Madison did, President Madison did. And there are others who are on record for having recognized the great worth of this religion. Don't think that this religion was left out by those people who found this country. Sometimes when I look at the concepts and the way that those concepts are worded, the concepts of inherent human worth, etc., the concepts of a true democracy, an informed electorate, quoting some of the great American leaders. When I look at that, I wonder if they were not reading the Quran and the Bible, because I can't find all that in the Bible. I find a lot of it in the Quran that I can't find in the Bible. So I say they had to have been reading the Quran and the Bible, or God just blessed them with those universal insights that we have in the Quran. So whether they read the Quran or not, it doesn't matter to me. They have the pure substance that I find in my book. They have it as a foundation for their democracy. Then that tells me that I can become a leader in this country. Doesn't mean that I'm going to say, I'm a Muslim, vote for me. No. Vote for me. That's all. You think that many of the good Christians would have gotten up there if they had said, I'm a good Christian, vote for me? I'm a Jew, vote for me? That's not the way to get there. We have to be courageous people. Courageous people. You know, when the burden of competition, when the pressure on the need to survive, the pressure on the very spirit to survive becomes greater and greater and greater and greater, eventually it's going to break you if you don't increase your imagination, if you don't enlarge your vision. If you don't come into greater courage, you're going to be eliminated. You're going to be eliminated. So don't be afraid to... What did Dr. Du Bois say? He said the measure of progress that we will make in the future depends on how far we will go to teach our children independent thinking. Be brave enough to think outside of the structures and context that you're put in, that your mind is put in, that your thoughts are put in, that you've lived by. Don't be afraid to think out of it. A white man once said, within my hearing, he said, you know the difference between the white and the black? He said, the white man has imagination. And, you know, when he first said that, I said, shit, you crazy, man. That's what I said. I was a young fella then. I can't tell you what I said, really. I was a young fella. I said, this dumb sucker, so on, so on, so. I said, he's crazy. That's all we do is imagine. That's why we don't have anything real. But as I got older, I understood what that man was saying. See, he wasn't talking about the small world that I was thinking about, that I was relating to. He's thinking about that man had in his mind the desire to move forward. the ambition to go forward. That's what he had in his mind. And we are afraid to use our imagination. We'd rather follow the white man where he has gone. And many times we don't even want to follow him where he's gone. We want to follow him where he's at. You know, and we would be better off if we follow him where he has gone and follow him where he wants to go. You know, we don't even have that imagination to even think of that, the white man as a thinking person to see him.